First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew coming across. And the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
There's one goal here and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford. Is winning. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Matthews got it. Gives to Abdullah right side. Got a hole. Abdullah 20. Abdullah 10. Sinks the man at the 8. And dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast post-game show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's here. It is the live post-game show. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. Case, how are you doing, my man?
Good, Chris. I am working on a new team motivational motto for the Lions, so just check back with me here in a minute. I should have it.
Ooh, okay. This sounds fun. I think motivation is always an important part of any team's character and all that kind of stuff, so we'll go with it. All right. Got a lot of stuff going on today. I did chat with Riz. He's not going to join us, but he's got some insights that he asked us to share in the show, so that'll be pretty cool and helpful. Got a lot of discussion going on about the game today, the big win over the Cleveland Steamers. And of course, we'll have a roundtable discussion where we take your calls and your questions and talk about this game. We got a great show lined up. As always, the live show. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
Here it is, Chris. Just enough. Inspire you?
I'm feeling it right down in my loins.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
And in that spirit, we've got just enough announcements for you. First, we want to have you check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to all of our folks like Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Michael, Matt, Eric, Joel, the Muffin. Joel, not the Muff Muncher. Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Benjamin, Justin, John, Ross, Matthew, Morgan, Alex, D, Peter, Randy, Matt, G, Kalen, Scott, Greg, Lucas, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck, Nasty. Had a good time rocking it with him on COD this last week. Fight Me, Case, Mike K, Flaundericious, Ryan, Zach, Gina, Miak, Malcolm, Dan, Gary, Peter, Von Panda, Skyler, Mario, Lucas, Tim, and of course, our very first donor, Mathis. Also, want to call out our newest patrons, Nicholas, Jesse, P. Lowe, Jason, Ryan, and Brian B., singer from I Prevail. Do not miss them. They are on tour right now. iPrevail.com will get you all the dates for their shows. Really, really good guy. Yeah, Brian, aside from just being a Patreon, check out their music. He's a deserving guy to get as much fame and fortune out of his talents that he can. Also, remember, we've got special content that drops for our patrons. We've got some stuff coming. It may go tonight or early tomorrow. One of our great writers, Ash, has put together a very, very interesting little piece that's going to be special for the patron donators only. You can join in. You can get access to that for just $1 a month. Patreon.com. / Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Like I said, as little as $1 a month gets you signed up and you get that special content as well. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twitter Maker. And it makes a lot more than that at DET Lions Podcast, because it's the only place to see Case
with no pants on.
That's right. Give us your ratings, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Let folks know that we are a 5-star show and that you love us. And we'll get those phones opened up. Not quite yet. Don't call yet, but you can very shortly. When you do, it's at Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or via the Lions line at not there. Sorry, that's a different number. It'll be 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. When we open up the lines, give us a call and we'll get you on the show.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
Ooh, all right, we're back. Let's see what's going on. Let's talk a little bit about the Cleveland game and what happened with those Steamers. Case, I'm going to let you open up and talk a little bit about what you saw.
Well, I mean, I think we all know that it wasn't as decisive as we were hoping it would be. And I mean, you can look at this as a tough game, not necessarily because of the opponent, but because of the circumstance. We're coming off a short week, and those are always tough games. We are without Ziggy Ansah, who, you know, despite not being at his best for a long time now, is still he likely would have played a factor in run defense, that where we really struggled in this game, surprisingly really struggled in this game, and we can get more into that later. Other, you know, various injuries, TJ Lang, we had Decker and Robinson out there for the first time this year. So there's a lot of, it was very like testing the waters type game for a lot of types of situations, and ultimately they did enough. Like I said, just enough. It's kind of tongue in cheek because it suggests that the Lions aren't that great a team. They don't have to be to do some damage the rest of this year. And this was a perfect example of, you know, they can win games. Even if it looks scary, they can still win these kind of games throughout the entire year if they do just enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and talk a little bit about it here, but this team, I think that it was a situation, you know, I've seen the beat writers putting stuff out there about how the team didn't deliver, or it was an ugly win or that kind of stuff. But I was talking to Riz after the game and before we started, and he said this is the best game the Browns have played in over 2 years, and that's not a result of the Lions being particularly bad, or it was that the Browns came ready to play. Kizer looked as good as he's looked since he started. So I'm not as worried. I don't think it was as ugly a win as other people might make it sound.
I won't necessarily completely disagree with that, and I would also suggest that we looked about as good against the Browns as the Vikings did a couple of weeks ago, which, you know, it tells you. And if you saw, I don't know how many people saw that Pittsburgh just barely beat out Indianapolis. But I mean, these kind of things happen, you know, and bad teams have good games from time to time, especially, you know, if, you know, Hugh Jackson came out this week and was talking about how, you know, how frustrated he is and how he's ready to like really pull out all the stops to try to get something to change. And that's the kind of game we got in this game, and something where they do a lot of trickery and that kind of thing. And that is something the Lions are susceptible to. And especially when you have a quarterback like Kizer who can escape as well as he can and can really gash you. Those are the kind of things that take advantage of what we have a weakness in on our defense, which is the linebackers and their instinctive play. They oversell to one thing or another, and they're susceptible to that kind of thing. And we saw it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the Lions can't take this as a learning opportunity, because, you know, we've seen, for example, Jared Davis has had, you know, ups and downs this year. Well, he's come out of, you know, a lot of the downs looking better on the other side. And this is one of those opportunities for him. It's an opportunity for a guy like Myles Killebrew, who was basically invisible in this game and was largely responsible for one of the touchdowns. He and Whitehead kind of combined on bad play to allow a run around the left end to get into the touchdown. Well, that's a learning opportunity for him too. And so, you know, you come out with a win like this. It's not a great win necessarily, but I don't necessarily think it's a bad situation for the Lions to be in, nor do I think it's a indicative of what we're likely to see going forward, especially considering that the Lions' run defense had been good, you know, throughout the, you know, the rest of the season. So this is more likely a fluke in that aspect.
Same with the Browns, right? I mean, they had a good run defense up until today. And I mean, I don't want to say we completely gashed them, because we don't have a running game that does that, but we performed much better than I expected against this vaunted run defense that the Browns supposedly possess.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a few other things, you know, what I've been talking about the last 2 weeks with the Lions offense, pushing the ball down the field. Now, they didn't do that as much, especially in the first half. And I think a lot of that was, you know, easing into the situation with the offensive linemen who were back and replacing TJ Lang with Corey Robinson and Taylor Decker on the left side. I think that's a part of why they kind of eased in. And actually, while Taylor Decker was far from perfect on the day, he was also largely responsible for some of the runs that happened. So, I mean, you get a mixed bag
I'm pretty happy, you know, that they were able to get back to the kind of passing attack that we saw the last 2 weeks later on in the game, because I think we're going to continue to see that going forward. That they struggled with it early on is, you know, I don't see that as a permanent issue. They've played some really good drives over the last 3 weeks, and I think that's still a good sign, even if they didn't have as many of them or consistently have as many of them this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say it again, like I said, a lot of people saying this is an ugly win. I don't see it that way at all. You have the whole any given Sunday factor, right? And look, I'm the first one to tell you the Lions played down to the level of their competition, and they came out like shit. They came out flat as hell today. Ford Field was flat. Did you notice that at the beginning of the game? It was like it was half full or nobody was there yet. Mm-hmm. It was just dead. And the team was as dead as the crowd was, man. It was just ugly. And they found it. And it was the second and the fourth quarter they played. It seems like there's two quarters that this team can really play in and do their thing. So at least they found good ones and they got scores. It is hard with only a 14-point win, you know. Right. You win by 14 in the NFL, right, and it feels like a bad win. I'm not feeling bad. That DeShone Kizer guy is going to be something special in this NFL. I really believe it. I think he's going to be a real star. If they, maybe not in Cleveland, because I don't know that they're going to be smart enough or good enough to surround him with the players. But he's very much, I think, in a Matthew Stafford situation after the Lions went 0-16. He's a guy that I think has a lot of talent, but doesn't have maybe the supporting cast. So we'll see how that goes.
And I think the real stars of this game, and I guess it really isn't that shocking considering the weakness on the other side of the ball, but I think the three stars of this game are the cornerbacks. You've got Darius Slay, who they kept throwing at all game. And while they got him for a DPI, and then there was two decent sized receptions. But I mean, overall, he completely was stopping them, and he created several third or fourth down situations for them that were problematic. I don't know why they kept going after him. They didn't go after Lawson very much. I believe he had one good sized completion that he allowed. And obviously he had one of the best, you know, single-handedly forcing a fumble, recovering the fumble, getting back up, and then running to the end zone. That was really an impressive play from start to finish. That's kind of hustle you want to see. It's his first turnover created in his entire career, which, you know, a lot of people get upset with him for not getting picks. Well, at least he's, you know, at least he's making an effort to work on those kind of things. It wasn't a pick, but it certainly was a timely thing to get the momentum of the game shifted back in our favor. And then Diggs was just, he's such a hard hitter. There's going to be times where, you know, teams are going to be able to take advantage of him with mismatches. That's just, that just kind of is how slot wide receiver position is. You want to be careful with who you end up lining him up against. So things like the Juju Schuster-Smith, you know, incident don't happen. But he had a really fantastic game, and you know, the hit he laid on Kizer may have been the deciding factor in how the end of the game finished out. So,
well, it certainly led to that 14-point victory versus like a 3-point victory.
Right.
Kizer is looking good out there. And it was a little bit scary. He was clicking that first pass where he went deep on us down the left side. That really, I was like, this is not good at all. We held him to 3, which felt okay, but that really set the tone for what he was going to do the rest of the day. And he didn't do that really all year, right? Both teams really seem to change up their game plan today to something different than what you would have expected on how they would attack each other. I did not expect the Lions to try to attack the Browns defense with a run. I just didn't expect to see that. And they just kept coming at him. And I didn't expect those kind of throws out of Kizer. And I didn't expect to see him exploit our defense the way he was able to. So
he was playing really well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there was also, and you know, far be it from me to criticize the officiating in a game. but in the live chat, Aaron Ferrante says, and I agree, the BSPI call on Jared Davis, that was really ticky tacky. There was one against Slay that I didn't buy so much either. And what makes it even seem worse, and then I'll shut up and let you talk, Case, is how late it came in. That's what absolutely made me so angry, because it was like, well, I don't think so. And somebody, I didn't see the ref where it came from, but you know somebody got in his ear and convinced him to throw that flag. I've seen that a couple times this year. And there was in the beginning of the year, I believe it was, gosh, I can't remember if it was the Bears or the Packers. They got up in the ref's face and convinced him that it was a penalty, and he threw the flag, and in the replay, the penalty literally didn't even happen. The ref didn't see it. He was convinced by the players on the field to throw a flag for something that didn't happen. And that's kind of what I feel happened here with Jared.
And to be fair, I think from the perspective on the field, I can see how that one might have looked worse than it actually was. He had a hand on his shoulder, but I think ultimately he wasn't the reason that ball was dropped at all. His contact was more or less incidental, but I can understand how it might have looked like it was more impactful than it was. I'm not going to complain too loud about a couple of, close. There were actually a couple of times when I thought they could have called Darius Slay and didn't. So I think the one they did call him on was probably the least of his,
on Slay.
Right.
They were kind of a let them play thing. And it's just either way, right? If they're going to call them or they're not, just be consistent. That's all I care about. Let the players figure it out in the first quarter, and then after that, go with it. And quarterbacks should be out there testing the refs, I think, in the first quarter. Seeing what are the limits going to be and how do we have to set the game up for the rest, and instead of waiting until, the end of the second quarter to figure out, they're going to call it like this, right? That's something Lions have in the past been guilty of. So, hey, let's open up the phone lines here for our listeners. Area code 248-782-8384. It's area code 248-782-8384. You can give us a call, get on the show, or if you prefer, you can use Skype. You can get us at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, and just Skype in and we'll add you to the show. Got a caller. Hey, caller, what's your name?
Hey, it's B-Jazz from the Lions subreddit threads.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Going pretty good. I'm pretty hot right now, though. I'm pretty livid.
Mm-mm. What happened?
The reason I'm livid, though, is not the Lions. It's the fans. They're going crazy in these subreddits. Okay, so this is what I want to ask. I want to ask you guys a couple questions. All right.
Sure thing.
What do you guys think of the Vikings? Are they a playoff team? Are they a pretty good team?
They're an okay team. They're a playoff team in terms of what the NFC looks like this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so they were up 23-16 going into the fourth quarter against the Cleveland Browns. Let me ask you something. How about the Steelers? Are you guys pretty high on the Steelers?
Well, and I just made that same comparison. They had a rough day against Indianapolis today.
Yep, they absolutely did. And they were up 21-10 going into the fourth quarter against Cleveland, and they ended the game at 21-18. What about the Titans? Pretty good team. I mean, they're kind of average.
They've been up and down, yeah.
But they're not a terrible team.
Went into overtime, 1-3. So this is what I got to tell the fans of the Lions. Cleveland is a professional football team. They will play pretty good, okay? They have a great defense. Oh, they have a good defense. Let me correct myself. They have a good defense, okay? They have some high draft picks, and they're professional football players. So with our offense, which is kind of rocky, they're gonna be pretty good. So when I see the subreddit going that, they're going, oh my god, I can't believe the Cleveland's gonna beat us, when they're up 3-0 in the first quarter with like 10 minutes to go.
Seems premature for sure.
Fucking ridiculous.
Our writers on our staff, I don't know how many of you guys are listening, I had to calm them down too, because we got down 10-0 and they're like several just throwing up their hands like, well, it's over now. Have you not watched the Lions game?
and this is the thing. It's not even Lions game. It's literally NFL, okay? They are professional football players. There's going to be ups and downs in every single game. And yeah, the cream rises to the top, but guess what? The top doesn't happen until the fourth quarter and at the end of the game. So when you're talking about the world ending in the first freaking quarter, get over it. Jesus Christ. Some of these people, like Blood Vault. Oh man, I got to call out Blood Vault. He is the most sensitive mother effer in the whole fucking world, man. It is crazy. And I'm pretty pessimistic myself. I'm inherently pessimistic, but at least I can call out reasons for it. Not, not world ending, everything's burning to the ground reasons. Okay. I don't think that Jim Bob Cooter is the greatest offensive coordinator in the world, but guess what? His offense scored 31 points and his run game was pretty good today. Let's face it. So when people are complaining about second down runs, then the next person is complaining about third down runs, and the next person is complaining about first down runs. Like, get consistent at least, because he's at least calling different plays in different times, but at least there's one person complaining about it. So people got to realize that. Now you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you hit on something. Like, every single play that doesn't work is criticized as a terrible play call. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's execution. Sometimes it's poor play calling. Sometimes it's a lot of things, but sometimes it's a great defensive play. But I mean, no, you're right. Like to assume that every single thing that doesn't work, especially when we've seen so much different stuff coming out the last few weeks, is just,
You know, it's funny.
And it's crazy, especially today, considering that Cleveland had 2 weeks to prepare for us. Considering the fact that they had a bye week. So yeah, their defense is going to play pretty good considering they have all this time to. Yep.
And they were all healthy. They were all healthy. I'm going to tell you guys one thing that
people that don't.
There's one thing I think that it's a good point that you're making. You know, we talked about the Lions being a team that didn't know how to win, right? Didn't know how to deal with it. And even way back in the Jim Schwartz days where he said, look, you know, one win here, we won on the road for the first time, right? And 253,000 games. That's not, you know, that's just a win. That's got to be the norm. We got to make this, you know, not a big deal. This has just got to be something we do. And the team has gotten kind of into that groove and has had a pretty good turn of the ship. But I don't think that the fans have turned the ship as quickly as the team has. I don't think the fans know how to be fans of a winning football team. It's interesting because
we're so ready for everything to turn at a moment's notice.
Everything we're waiting for, that other shoe to drop, that failure to happen. And look how many people automatically went to SOL mode the second they dropped that first three in the first quarter, just like you guys are talking about, right? Yeah. People started hitting that panic button.
It's a point of pride for some people, though. I think it's like, I want to be the first one to say that this team sucks. And it's like, get over it.
I definitely think you're right. I think there's, and actually it was funny because Stafford to Ebron had that nice touchdown pass. And I said to the writers, we were having a conversation on our Slack, and I said to them, you know, I enjoy that, you know, when Ebron does that, not necessarily because I'm Ebron's biggest fan, but because I get to kind of at all the people who are sitting there frustrated that they don't get to shit on Ebron this week, because I know there's a lot of people who really do enjoy that.
Is there anyone you want to call out by name, Case?
No, I'll leave that.
Every time he makes a catch, I post the unicorn on Twitter. So, you know.
Yep.
Hey, I'm not a big Ebron fan, but guess what? I'm pulling for him. He sucks. But at least I want him to do it. I'm not hoping he doesn't catch it. Damn, you know?
Yep, for sure. All right, man.
Yeah, that's my point. I appreciate it, guys. Good show.
Appreciate
the
call. Thanks,
Bo. Good point.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's good. And it's, I think there's a lot of truth to that. The fans not knowing how to win. And there's something about sports, and it doesn't matter what sport it is. Everybody wants to be the one that I called it, right? I hate that.
Yeah.
Because you just said it first. You didn't call anything. You got lucky. And now you have confirmation bias making you feel good about yourself, right?
The whole Nostradamus thing. You know, you make enough predictions, you're going to get right on some of them.
Hey, and, don't cut on Nostradamus. Let's draw the line right there, Case.
Okay. But I mean, you're going to get right on some of them, and then you get to forget the ones you were wrong about and gloat about the ones you were right about. And okay.
Nostradamus is the medieval.
I think we're all guilty of that. It's just be careful.
Nostradamus is the medieval Skip Bayless right there.
No doubt. That's
apt. Oh man. All right. So had a couple of people calling. Go ahead and get you in. We'll just give us a call here. We'll get you in now. We only have the one line, but got some coming in here now as we say that. I do want to talk about the Caldwell challenge at some point here. And it's not dumping a bucket of shit over your head or ice or whatever, but that challenge that he threw, that was garbage. But hey caller, what's your name?
Hi, this is Jeff. I'm from Grand Rapids.
How you doing, Jeff?
I am doing marvelous, and I'm a proud Patreon contributor to this year's website.
Oh,
and
man, thanks a lot. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
And, you know, okay, this game, kind of fed into what I like to call the Jim Caldwell, Jeff Foxworthy bit.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's like, if you play into the defensive strengths to start the game, you just got Caldwelled. If you start out the third quarter playing pre-man defense because you're up 7 points, you just got Caldwelled. You know, I honest to Christ think that a lot of the problems with this team are the fact that, you know, for God's sake, the coaching staff doesn't get out of their way. You know, it seems like, you know, every time Stafford has this tremendous game, every time that, you know, Cooter calls a great game, every time Austin is a defensive genius, it's when they have this back against the wall type stuff going on.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
So this game, in this game, you know, okay, so all right, they were expected to win the game. So they came out flatter than shit, and it's all coaching. I think Jim Caldwell is a pox upon this team, and I do not fault Bob Quinn for giving him an extension, because what are you going to do any better? Matt Patricia, you know, him and his beard probably have lice, and it's just going to cause more problems in the locker room. But, you know, it's just, the continuing, it's, oh God. I mean, the coaching staff does not get out of their way. And I quite frankly think that, you know, the running thing today was happening despite the coaching staff as opposed to the coaching staff, because in every other game, it's like, what, you know, the Lions like run on first down 79.3% of the time. I mean, for Christ's sakes, it's just like, change it up. And they don't change it up unless it seems like Jim. Okay, let me choose a full disclosure. I honestly do not know how much, you know, control a head coach has over, you know, the coordinators and what they call. Mm-hmm. But for Christ's sakes, with the Lions, it seems like he has a giant fucking lot of control. And it seems like he only decides to, like, unleash the hound if his back's against the wall or if he feels his back's against the wall. It's just, I'm finding the coaching a little bit mind-numbing at this point, and maybe I need to take a pill.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I agree with a lot of what you said. Not all of it...
Uh-oh. Casey, you okay?
Yep. Did you lose me?
Just for a second. I thought maybe okay. There was a heart issue or something.
I think...
Because I was going to talk for Casey. It's good thing you're back.
a little too vigorously. We've seen it, you know, multiple times throughout Jim Caldwell's career, and that is that when the fire starts to really get hot, that's when he lets things get loose, and that's when the team seems to.
He lost calling privileges with the Ravens, remember?
Right. Oh, absolutely. So it's this funny little purgatory that we sit in, because I agree. And I think, you know, I worry that we're just going to see the same cycle go on repeat, that they're never truly going to get over the hump, because they will continue to, as soon as things get comfortable, as you said, they will revert back to their old ways. The last 2 weeks, they were really getting attacks down the field. Late in this game, they were doing the same once it was clear that they really absolutely had to. But it would be better if they were able to keep that aggressive nature and keep those, you know, surprises up throughout whole games. Now, I don't know if this game is a microcosm of that, because there were other weird things going on in the beginning of this game that may have affected.
For the love of God, Case, this is exactly the microcosm of it. This was exactly the example of it. Case, you're way too analytical for this next comment. Chris, at some point, don't you just want Marty Schottenheimer, who's just going to fucking kill people and then blame it on some sort of archaic rule that if we have ties, it's bullshit. You know, we have to win by 106 points. Come on, Case. You want somebody who's going to shove it down their throat and win by 106 points and make bullshit Marty Schottenheimer excuses.
I won't argue with that. It is frustrating. It is frustrating to me too, and I am concerned that we will just see the cycle continue. So
it'll all be okay.
Case, I don't want to fight you. I just want to.
No, we're all right.
Don't worry. Case still cuddles with me.
All right. Have a good evening, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, passion. Man,
that's great. That's
passion.
That's the best part about the live show, dude. I love what everyone brings. It's so much fun. All right. So we'll take your calls, guys. Go ahead and kick them our way as you want. We are at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word. Detroit Lions Podcast on Skype or via telephone 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Case, So the Caldwell Challenge, right? This was stupid. Okay. And I know we put someone up in the booth to watch and make calls like this for Caldwell. I don't know if Caldwell decided to do this on his own or it came from the booth.
I don't know.
But we saw it on TV that it was clearly, I mean, they still spotted a yard short of where it should have been. That ball was a first down by 110%. And even worse, when you're at Ford Field, okay, I had somebody on Twitter said, well, maybe they didn't see the replay, right? Okay, so they're at home, number one. Number two, they have access to all these different cameras and everything else. But number three, when I'm standing there taking a piss at Ford Field, I can look up and there's a TV on the wall. And you know what? I can see the replay. If I can do that in the bathroom, then those guys in the booth better be able to see the feed and see what was going on, because that was real late on the challenge and it was real bad on the challenge. That was just terrible.
Here's what I'll say, though, and I do agree it was a bad challenge, but we didn't see that final angle where it was clear that his knee wasn't down until after the challenge flag was like already in Caldwell's hand. I don't think he got that information before he threw the challenge flag.
He may not have, but they have instant communication. And I was like, even when they were showing Hugh Jackson with the flag ready to do the challenge, and they showed the replay there, it was like, oh yeah, his knee wasn't down. They showed us that view. We saw that. I don't know if they were looking at something else or whatever, but we did have that view that was unequivocal.
I think we saw that unequivocal view kind of late in the process. And my guess is that they just hadn't fully had a chance to sit through that yet before they threw the flag.
I think
that doesn't mean it's not a failure.
Seconds.
There was a failure somewhere in there. Yeah. This is the kind of failure that's so egregious that I'm actually willing to say they didn't see what we saw. Because if they did, there's not a chance that anybody would have done that. There's not a chance.
No, I agree.
So there's a failure somewhere in there. Don't get me wrong, but I think the failure is, you know, in not being patient to look at all the angles or something like that, as opposed to, you know, assuming seeing what we saw and still throwing the flag. Somewhere in there, there was a miss on that. But like, that's to me, that's where the failure is. Not about not, you know, that they saw it and still thought it was challengeable. Because it wasn't.
No, not in the least.
It was so clear, but I mean, it wasn't 100% clear to me until kind of late in the process, right before they threw the flag. So
I feel like there was at least 15 seconds there between when they.
I don't think I agree with that.
And the flag. It could have been 10, but it takes only 2 seconds. Right. Once they see
again,
it to
like
be
I
like,
say,
no, don't throw into the mic and in his ear. That's it. Right. And that was just a failure on the coaching staff, whether they saw it or not, they should have, because it was on the regular TV feed. So whatever feed they got, they better add the regular TV stream to that.
It's funny that when I say there's an error that egregious, I'm almost more willing to give Caldwell the benefit of the doubt, but I am in this instance, because I don't think that whoever gave him that information was the one who was at fault here, in my opinion.
And then that leads to a different kind of conversation, in that, you know, Caldwell can't do this, and now we hired somebody else who can't either.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, it's probably a one-off. So we've had a pretty good success rate on challenges this year, so I'm not gonna spend too much time on that particular thought.
It's just I'm particularly attuned to losing timeouts, right? We've been really bad with managing our timeouts, and that's been quite frustrating this year. So, All right, you want to talk? Let me throw the number out there again for anyone who wants to call in. Area code 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384, or give us a ring up on the Skyper, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. You want to talk about this whole idea of the pistol? Joe Cummins in the live chat said he didn't see it today.
No, I have no idea. I'll have to go back and do some review, but I'm off the top of my head. No, I'm not sure what he was hoping for, or, you know,
I think he was pretty happy that he didn't see it, actually.
Yeah.
Because,
and I mean, like I say, you know, I do think that we've seen continued change over the last 3 weeks. It really is difficult for me to know exactly where to place the blame for the screw ups early in this game, because there was so much going on and so much different, and maybe they tried to do too, maybe they didn't do enough, or maybe they tried to do too much. I'm not really sure. And there was, you know, one of the writers had suggested they probably could have just kept Mihalik out there for a little bit more consistency and eased Decker in, as opposed to tossing him straight in, you know, on a off of a short week situation. Not to say that he hasn't been practicing for a few weeks, but it may have been a better idea to roll with what had been working, at least, you know, in terms of moving the ball the last 2 weeks. So I don't know. Those are calls that I'm not really sure about. On the bright side, you know, they come out of the win, and they did. And now this game, you know, proved to be, as I said, you know, a learning experience for a lot of situations. So hopefully going forward from this, hopefully, first of all, we get Lang back as soon as next week from whatever concussion stuff that's very strange.
Loss. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it's me, but gosh, when those symptoms come in later like that, that really gives me pause. It makes me worry quite a bit about the severity of the concussion itself. Maybe I'm just, you know, I don't know enough about it. I'm not a doctor, and maybe it was less severe because it didn't show, you know, symptoms till later, and maybe they weren't as severe, but they had to go through the protocol, wada wada. Or, you know, maybe it was something that, but boy, I always, you know, this is it. This is a Lions fan who doesn't know how to win, right? My mind goes to it's probably worse.
and see, that's the most concussions, most of them in the NFL are, you know, 1 week issues. Most of them, not all of them. And we've obviously been down the other path because we went through Javid Best and then we went through Travis Swanson last year. So, I mean, we've seen both sides of this. I'm not going to panic until I find out whether or not he's practicing this week. If he's not practicing this week, maybe you start to really worry. Even at that, even if he's out, at least now Corey Robinson has a game under his belt and should have a little bit, you know, better outing next time around. One of the other things I want to talk about is a couple weeks ago, I was dead set certain that either we were going to win the NFC North or we weren't going to make the playoffs at all. I don't think that's true anymore. I think there's a very good chance that we could make a wild card now because things have changed a little bit. We've got a situation where,
you know, if it's not true anymore, it was never true, right?
That fair enough. The outlook has changed. I'll put it that way, because we've got three teams that we're vying for the second wild card position. If you suspect that the Panthers are probably a lock for a wild card position. Now, I'm not, before I get into this, I'm not saying I still don't think we have a very good chance to win the division, because I do, because all the Vikings have to do is lose one more game and then lose to us, and we're ahead of them. So, I mean, that's how close it is, just so people understand. If the Vikings lose against the Rams, the Panthers, or the Falcons, the Panthers and the Falcons games are both on the road, and we beat them at home, we'll be ahead of them in the division and with control to go through the rest of the year. So I'm not saying that, but I am saying should that fail, there is actually a pretty good opportunity now, because we're looking at the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Falcons. And first of all, you've got the Falcons and the Cowboys playing each other right now. If the Falcons lose this one, and they were a team that I thought was probably, you know, they and the Saints were, I thought for sure the NFC South was going to be sending three teams this year. And all of a sudden, the Falcons have fallen off, and if they lose this game and they're trailing right now, then they're all but eliminated. I mean, I shouldn't say that because there's plenty of time left, but we have a full game advantage on them, even though they have the tiebreaker, and boy, is our schedule a lot easier. And that's the same for the other teams too. The Seahawks and the Cowboys, our schedule is just so much easier than both those teams, and all three teams play each other. So there'll be a little bit of a cannibalization effect in there. And you have to hope that, you know, they kind of spread the wins between the group, and it isn't just one team. It isn't just the Cowboys that win both of those games, or the Seahawks who win both of those games, or whatever. But we're sitting in a pretty good position where we're only a game back from Dallas and only a game back from Atlanta. Or actually, I think we're tied. You know, we have five wins and Dallas has five wins. If they win this one, they'll be a game up. We're, I believe we are a game back from Seattle, either one game or two games back from Seattle. I think it's one. So, I mean, we're really in a pretty good position where considering the strength, our strength of schedule, and obviously that can change on a dime. Everyone's probably upset with me for talking about that right now after we, you know, struggled against the Browns. Theoretically on paper, we have a much easier go of it. So, if we can get to 10 wins this year, I think there's a real good shot that we make the playoffs as a wild card team, even if we can't manage the division.
Yeah, and you're right. I just think we will manage that division. It is just too. It doesn't look good if you look at the straight numbers. And you saw Minnesota beat Washington today.
Although, boy, it was not a clear, like, decisive victory either for them. So
no, it was in Washington. They have the Rams at home. The Rams are looking good, but then they got a 3-game road trip against the Lions, the Falcons, and the Panthers. That's not going to go well for them. That could very easily be LLL very quickly. I'm not high on, I'm a Lions fan, right? But I'm not high on the Vikings chances right now either. I like the way you're thinking though. And what you're looking at is the fact that you have to take that second, okay, plan A, plan B, what's plan B look like? And then there's still an opportunity in there. I feel like this team, they have a lot of guys getting healthy late. And this is a team that, if it makes the playoffs, will get its playoff win this year. I just think that it's fate. And I don't usually talk about fate, but this team is on a mission. The comeback meme, all the other stuff that we talk about is reality, but this is a team that's played strong, and whether we play to the level and the talent of our competition, that's great. We'll play great teams great, and we'll play bad teams bad. That makes it a 50-50. I just think this team is way above a 50-50 shot at taking out the competition as they play against them in the playoffs this year. So, mark it. I said it. You heard it here first. I called it, right?
if we get a wild card going into the playoffs, chances are very good we would either play the Rams or the who am I trying to say? The Vikings, excuse me, the Rams or the Vikings, if we got the wild card, would be the good bet on that.
So let's move on to the next little topic here. We've got some talk about Nevin Lawson. He had a schizophrenic type of game, didn't he? Tough shots, got beat, and then pulls out that big sack of of power. And gets that play where he knocks the ball out, recovers it, and returns it. I got to tell you, that was amazing play. I mean, that was heads up ball, and that's the kind of thing. I mean, he's your number two, guys. He's your number two, and he looks good. He got burnt, but he missed a tackle pretty bad. But we've seen Slay do that too. I just feel like Nevin Lawson has a really high ceiling for this team, and we kind of dismissed him early. And I think, especially if you get into next year with Slay and Lawson and then Tease coming up, I'm feeling really good about this Lions secondary.
Yeah, I am too. And now we have to see what actually happens, because we'll have to see if they pay Lawson and keep him around or not. We also, obviously, Slay was talking up Tease's development and how they slipped him in on some dime packages as a linebacker last week and things like that. But we'll have to see in the offseason whether or not that actually comes to fruition, where he ends up seeing a major amount of play time, or everybody is quick to call bust, and I'm certainly not doing that. But he has to. We just don't know right now what we're going to get out of him. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I'm optimistic about the secondary, but there's a lot that could be different next year too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Of course, it'll be different. The competition will be different. It's nothing lays flat in this league. It all moves around and changes. But again, the trajectory of this team is the right one, and it's headed in the right direction. Realistically, there was talk about the division and who's going to take division based on what we're talking about, and I think Bo said it the best. He's a modest lion in the subreddit. He echoed a sentiment from our man Trev.
We just need to get our poop in a group, man.
And that's it. As long as we get it all together and win those close games, it's our division. He intimates that we're the best in the North, and I don't disagree. I just don't think that the Vikings have the cohesion to make it happen. I just don't think that they have that. They're a good team, but I just don't think they're good enough. And the Packers are a wreck right now. They are lucky they played the Bears this week, who
who we play twice.
Yeah.
And the Bears are really struggling right now.
You think our challenge was bad today? The Bears challenge, I believe the way it worked out was they were called short of a touchdown, so they challenged the play. On the challenge, the officials reviewed it. They saw that the ball was loose. It hit the pylon. It was a fumble out of bounds. It was touched back to the 20 Packers ball. They challenged themselves out of a first and short on goal into a turnover.
Whoops.
That would be a Caldwell move, and we didn't see it. So, hey, we're getting better. So, good stuff. Love that. Let's open up the lines here. Case, we'll start closing out our thinking on the game here. Unless we get another call, we'll close the show out after that. Area code 248-782-8384. It's 248-782-8384. Take advantage. I'm sitting here drinking Jaeger bombs. You can also hit us up on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. I'll just start off, Case, and I'll let you do your rap. I'm going to disagree with all the stuff I saw spit out from the beat writers at the end of the game. And I'm going to say this wasn't an ugly win. This was a win against a Browns team who played their very best game in over 2 years. That's straight out of Risden's mouth. And we played well enough to beat that team. And they're a pro NFL team, as we heard earlier. So I feel good about the win. I'm happy and we're moving on.
And I think there were a lot of things that the Browns have on their team that took advantage of weaknesses on our team. Like I talked about the linebackers, but also our defensive line, especially without Ansa. And maybe during the weekly show, we can talk about Ansa a little bit more and his impact, even though he isn't showing up on the stat sheet, Ezekiel Ansa. But we can talk more. No, I know, because he isn't showing up on the stat sheet. But again, I think, you know, he does have some impact and he is a fast player. So I think without him, our defensive line was really slow. And I think that was a big part of why they were able to take advantage of them to get Kaiser out of the pocket and find, you know, ways to run him down the field, even though I think most of that was him scrambling unless, you know, planned. But this team is probably built better suited to attack more traditional pocket passers. And they weren't able to do that this week. They had to play, you know, against a type of enemy that they are not particularly well suited for. We'll get to see, you know, how that plays out as the year goes on, because you're always going to have some of those guys, especially with the younger quarterbacks who may not be as good a passers, but they're always going to be mobile. And we're the type of team that's likely to get gashed by that from time to time. I look forward to seeing if they learn lessons here that they can use against Mitch Trubisky when they go up against him, because while I'm not scared of his passing ability, he is mobile. Things like that. I really do see this as a game that they can walk away from and go, whew, thank goodness we won that. Now we can really get down to business.
Very nice. Very nice. I like the way you said that. I like the way you placed that. I agree. You know, we're a team. We're going to be at the Bears next week. We should be able to pummel those guys. Short turn on the Vikings. And the Vikings, they don't have an easy next week. They've got the Rams at home, but they've got to see us. And then they're heading out to Atlanta and the Panthers, as I said, on that three-game road trip. They're going to be in desperation mode heading into that. They've got a short turn as well. So I think we've got a good chance. Bears, Vikings at the Ravens. They got a strong defense. That's going to be an interesting game. At the Bucks, I'll be at that game. Anyone that wants to hook up, hit me up on Twitter. That's a game that I hate to do it, but I want to put it in the W column already. I just see the rest of this run throughout this year as being very, very positive for this team. And putting the Browns away in what could have been a trap game where they played their very, very best. I mean, it had all the makings of a trap. It had every bit of trap written all over it. And I think any team in the last 25 years would have lost that game. And this Lions team came in, won it, and made us proud. I think they did a great job, and I'm feeling good about the team and its chances going forward. We'll dive into some of that. We'll have sounds of the game on the weekly show. Have a lot of really, really great stuff coming up. And don't forget, we'll get Dean around as well for some more stuff.
Oh, hey, and it was nice to have Kenny Golladay back.
Oh, yeah, right? I mean, we didn't really talk much about that, but he did make an impact. I mean, he opened...
And that was a very impressive catch. It's those kind of things that are going to help spread defenses out. So
exactly. He opened up the field and gave us a lot more opportunity. Marvin Jones was pretty quiet, but that's okay. If they're going to shut down Jones, we have Golladay and we have Tate. And if they shut down Tate, fine. We have Jones and we have Golladay. We have enough guys. And even Eric Ebron caught that touchdown pass. So, I mean, we have the talent on the field that can make the plays. I feel like having Golladay back gives us the type of player that really opens the defenses up just because of, mm-hmm. of how he plays and his size. And they have to cover him differently, which switches up the schemes in our favor. So, good show to have Golladay back. Good to see him playing well again and making an impact. All right, so that's going to do it. We're going to close out the show right now. Thank you all for calling in. Thank you all for listening. And make sure, tell your friends about the show. All you guys, that's the best compliment you can give is to share the show with your friends and let them know that we're on and we're doing this thing and that you guys enjoy it. We appreciate it when you do that. Remember, also, we need your involvement. Use the comments in the sub to give us feedback. Those comments, we use them all the time, and that's what helps kind of guide the show into being the best show that it can be and to giving you guys what you want. Also, the Patreon thing, don't forget about that, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. New content, special content, additional content. We don't cut anything off. We're not making anything shorter or less for our listeners. We're just building more stuff to kind of thank those folks that do subscribe via Patreon. So we got a new thing dropping for them tomorrow. One of our writers, Ash, put a great piece together, and that's going out for them tomorrow, so they're going to get that as well. And then we have the weekly show as normal. Also, don't forget about us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and follow us on Twitter. It's the best place to say FTP at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast. It's also a great place to see Case
doing just enough.
Oh, yeah. All right. Make sure to hit that shop link on the website. That helps us out a lot, guys. If you're going to Amazon or you want to buy some Lions gear, you know, it's the big holiday stuff going on. Head on out and just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. On the main menu, there's a link that says shop. Amazon takes you right there. Fanatics for all your Lions gear. SeatGeek if you want any tickets to anything you can think of for tickets. They give us a kickback. It doesn't cost you more, but it helps us out a lot. And it's a great way to help us out by doing something you're going to do anyway. We'd also like to do a big salute out to the vets, Veterans Day this weekend. And thank you all that serve for us and make it so that we can do these great shows and talk shit and talk football. Those folks deserve a big salute from all of us who don't spend the time serving for our country. So thank you all who have served and are serving now. Also, don't forget DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Great articles, great content all week long, multiple articles a day. Great stuff. And we're starting to get a lot of notice out there in the Twitterverse. So you want that kind of stuff that makes your toes tingle? Head on over, make DetroitLionsPodcast.com a daily stop for your Lions needs. While you're there, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, baby. Lions on three. One, two, three.